I want to talk about that letter of John, but this text in Luke here, chapter 17, you see, we're getting, as you can see, we're getting to this point where through the way the season goes, the way the year goes, we're being reminded that this world ends. Our life ends, and this world ends. This is not infinite, and it's not eternal. We have an infinite and eternal world where God is immediately present, and that's our real goal. Certainly, the first part of the text is telling us it can happen any time. So be alert. Be alert. It could happen any time. And then it's going to be sudden. So don't worry about what you left in the house. Don't worry about it. Just go. And then they ask him, well, where is this going to take place? And the Lord says, you'll know. When the vultures gather, there's a body present. When all these things start to happen, it's the end. Now, the Lord is coming back rather soon. But the coming now is not to end the world. It's to win the world over again. You can see the mess we're in. I mean, the slavery, the oppression, and the total mess we've made of our vaunted commerce. An economist explained to me the other day that if you take the whole world all together, there is more money owed than exists. There's no way we could pay. If everybody demanded today, pay me what you owe me, the nations, the neighbors, everybody, there's not enough money to pay everybody. That's a rather disastrous kind of situation, huh? It could be a pretext for a national or international monetary system, the beginning of a world government and so forth, if anybody's bright enough to figure out how to take care of that. But that doesn't mean it's the end of the world. But it is a chance for us, particularly as Catholics or as Christians, to realize that we have become dominated by the cultural norms, ambitions, outlooks, philosophy, all around us. And the Lord in His wisdom is giving us a chance. The only thing that can help somebody not just be absorbed by the culture is an experiential faith. Not just a faith, an experiential faith. That may help you see what the Lord has provided for us through the charismatic renewal and all the things that sort of flow from that unique grace, all the other lay movements, all the homeschooling, wherever. But where, you see, without an experiential faith, culture absorbs faith. Not the practice, perhaps, but the understanding. And so the practice goes on without any real understanding in a mind dominated by the fears, the ambitions, the lusts, the power of the world. That's what the first letter, the second letter of John, is talking about. He's addressing a church, chosen lady. That's the way he addresses the church. And the leaders in the church, but the whole church, for which he feels a great responsibility. It's a church, but it's with his own leaders, but it's under his leadership. I rejoiced greatly. Why? To find some of your children walking in the truth. Now, this is still Johannine theology, right? So what does that mean? What is the truth? The truth is the revelation of the Father. That's the truth. They're walking in that revelation of the Father, just as we were commanded by the Father. Jesus says, I am the truth, right? I am the revelation of the Father. But now, lady, I ask you, not as though I were writing a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning. How do you walk in the truth? Let us love one another with no limit. Let us love one another. Serve one another. Care for one another. Forgive one another. Pray for one another. And wherever there is any emotional riffles, kill them. Get them out of your life. They are destroying you and everybody else. So get out, get them out. Well, I mean, it's hard. Well, of course it's hard. Life is hard. Kill them. Well, I can't. No, by yourself you can't. But that is the power of the cross. To tolerate anger, judgments, resentments, negative emotions, is not to walk in the truth. It's that simple. For this is love. Now we're going to find out what love is, right? That we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, as you heard from the beginning, in which you should walk. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Now, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This, we're so used to the image, which is different than the concept. Huh? We're so used to the image. God became man. Isn't that nice? You know what you just said? That God became man? Are you out of your mind? Yeah. Do you see, even to assent to that proposition in the most superficial way, but it's not a really assent, is a miracle of grace. And when Satan wants to attack, that's where he goes. Not directly, but indirectly. And this, of course, as you know, especially the letters of John, this is the whole. Who is the Antichrist? The one who denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That's the Antichrist. There's all sorts of ramifications and consequences of that, right? In this we know what love is, that he laid down his life for us. Don't be under any doubt. It's not a warm fuzzy. He laid down his life for us. And not in a very comfortable way. Therefore, we should lay down our lives for one another. Period. And then he gives a homely little example. You've got a few bucks, and this guy doesn't have even enough clothes. And you see your brother. It's your brother, it's, you know, somebody, a fellow Christian. You know, who doesn't have enough to live on. And you close your heart to him? How can the love of Christ be in you? No way. Brothers, sisters, you see, let us love one another. And he goes on to say, right there, see, let our love be not in word, you know, in talk, but in act and in truth. Hear it? Truth. That means in the revelation of the Father. Let it come from that love, that intimacy with the Father that gives you a share in his heart and his compassion. And that's where it comes from. Huh? So don't be deceived. Now you can see right now in a world like ours, if we are not really praying, there is no way that the culture is not going to absorb us. We'll continue the practices, but the heart will be gone. Jesus took, remember, he had a real humanity. He was truly man. As he said to a friend of mine, when I was in the garden and I saw what was coming on me, I was filled with revulsion. So you see, when he says, let us love, he forgave Judas. Let us love. He did it with his human heart. And he does it to us. How many times have we all been traitors? And somehow we get used to the mercy of God. No, that comes from a heart. Every grace we receive comes from a personal decision of Jesus Christ. Every grace. You say, well, gosh, there's 6 billion. How does he keep track? Well, he has a divinized humanity. And so, you see, this, well, we've only taken a few verses from this very short letter. It's almost a postcard. But you can see how powerful it is, right? And so, is a call to walk in the truth.